I believe that this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel the power of the blood here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. It's time for the Word of God. We're going to dismiss the Sunday school children this morning, college and careers class. Amen. Ask the Lord to bless and anoint this morning. God is able today. Praise the Lord. And the rest of us, let's get our Bibles this morning and go to the book of John chapter 15. John chapter 15 verses 1 through 6 this morning. Praise the Lord. And it's so good to see all of you here this morning in the house of God. We're thankful that you're here today. Amen. And what a wonderful presence of the Lord we feel here this morning. John chapter 15 and verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Everybody said, purges, purges. Amen. That's old English. He purges, purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Amen. Jesus giving us something here, very important to understand and to remember and to live in our lives. Amen. And I want to work on that word this morning, purge. He purges it. Amen. He refines it. Praise God. He makes it better than what it was in the beginning. Praise God. And so I want to talk about the spiritual refinery here this morning. The spiritual refinery. Let's pray and let's ask for God's help this morning. Father, we thank you for the Word of God today. Thank you for the blessings, such great, wonderful blessings. We feel your loving kindness here this morning. We ask you, Lord, to supply the needs today in Jesus' name. Let the Word of God find its mark in our hearts. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. 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 God bless you. You can be seated. Let's get right into the Word of God this morning. Because I believe that it is totally essential that we understand the ministry of the Lord in our lives. He wants to do something in your life. He wants to do something in my life. And we've got to be ready for the Lord to do his work and to make us better and to conform us into what he wants us to be. And what I want to talk about this morning is the word here, purge, or to refine, or to make better. Amen. And everybody that comes to the Lord is treated this way. Everyone that comes to the Lord, he works on us and he helps us. Amen. I want to read another little bit of a lengthy scripture, Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 through 8. Now, while you're turning there, everybody knows what Hebrews chapter 11 is, right? Hebrews chapter 11 is the chapter of faith. And he said, by faith, through faith, by faith. And all the way through chapter 11. Sometimes we get the idea that that's all there is to living for God is just having faith. But faith is worked out in a number of ways. And chapter 12 gives us one of the ways. Let's look at it here this morning. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, that's the witnesses of chapter 11. Amen. Let us lay aside every weight. Everybody said the weight. And the sin. Everybody said sin. We got to lay aside the weights and the sin which doth so easily beset us. In other words, it hinders us. It slows us down. Keeps us from being productive. It keeps us from having fruit in our lives. And he said, it is a weight. A weight is not a sin. Amen. Some folks are argumentative, they will say, well, it's not a sin, and I don't have to deal with that. But the Bible says it is a weight. Amen. Some things may not be a sin, but they are a weight. And they weight us down, and they slow us down in our attempt to live for God and to do the will of God. And sin, of course, is more than a weight. It's very heavy, and sin will stop you dead in your tracks, and it will keep you from being productive in the kingdom and the work of God. And he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Amen. You can't run very far when you're carrying a weight. Amen. Well, you can't. And you've got weights strapped on your shoulders and around your waist and on your feet and your ankles. You're not going to win the race, and you probably won't finish the race because of those weights. But he wants us to run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. We got to look to him as the example of how to make it all the way through this life, amen, and to do the will of God. And he says, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Amen. And so he goes from faith and walking by faith and receiving by faith to looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then he talks about laying some things aside. Amen. Lay aside the weights. Lay aside the sin. Well, how do we know what it is? Well, that's what God gave us the ministry for. And that's why God's been so gracious to us to give us the Word of God that we can read for ourselves. And this book is the measure of weights and sin right here. Amen. It's not what is popular, and it is not what society says is right or wrong, but it's what God says is right and wrong becomes the weight and the sin. Amen. And so he says here, now despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Amen. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Scourges. Amen. Well, praise God. You know what that is? That's a Bible way of talking about getting a spanking. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. That's exactly what it is. And I won't go into that here this morning. But if you endure chastening, the Bible says, God dealeth with you as with sons. How many of us want to be a son and a daughter of God this morning? Well, praise the Lord. If you're going to be a son or a daughter of God, then you're going to have to endure the chastening of the Lord. Amen. Because he is dealing with you as a good father deals with his son or his daughter. Amen. Children that are left to themselves, the Bible says, will bring their mother to shame. Amen. They need discipline. They need teaching. They need correction. And sometimes they need chastening or scourging. Amen. As the scripture brings it out. And it says, for what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Amen. The Bible says that if you don't chasten your children, that you actually hate them. That's what it says in the Word of God. And we don't have scriptures here this morning, but I can find those scriptures and get them for you. Because what we need is discipline. What we don't need is abuse.
Right. Right. Amen.
Well, praise God. I've seen at one time children that were brought to church and mom and dad brought a board with them. I don't believe in that. Amen. I don't believe that that's where the house of God is supposed to be. Correction and instruction and all. We got instruction, but correction, amen, as they used to say, is out back by the woodshed. Amen. And taken personally and privately. Amen. Where we chasten and we let them know this is not an acceptable way to talk. And this is not an acceptable way to live your life. Amen. You've got to be a good citizen. And we're going to help you to be a good citizen. Amen. And thank God that it doesn't have to happen every day because that's just not a good thing. That's an awful rebellious child right there if they've got to be chastened every day. But it says every son. Everybody said, that means me. That means me. Amen. It says, but if you without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, amen, then are ye, and I'm not even going to read that word, but what it actually is saying is you are an illegitimate son and not a real son of God. Amen. We're living in a time, and I guess it's always been this way, in which everybody wants to prophesy, and everybody wants to have a ministry, and everybody's got a word, amen, but nobody is talking about the chastening of the Lord, but the Bible gives it to us very clearly here, right after chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. We're shouting in chapter 11, and in chapter 12, we understand here that God wants to change us. He's not a big Santa Claus in heaven that we go to God in prayer and say, God, give me this, give me that, I need this, I need that. Amen. The greatest thing that God does in our life is not perform miracles. Amen. The greatest thing that God does in our life is He takes us from the old person that we were. Amen. That old destructive lifestyle, those old destructive ways of thinking, and He begins to work with us and to help us. Amen. I need help this morning. And can I say it this way? You need help this morning. Praise God. And we're all looking really good here today. And I appreciate the way everybody comes to church. Amen. I see in many other places where the laity and even the ministry comes to church in a t-shirt and raggedy and down at the heels, as they would say. And because, you know, we're going to come and talk to Dad this morning. Well, listen, I'm telling you, He's not my dad. He's my Father. He's my Heavenly Father. He's God Almighty, and we come with respect for Him. And children, you need to respect your parents. Well, praise God. You need to respect your parents. And that's not just for the young people here this morning. That's for all of us here today. You ought to be thankful if you have your parents alive and honor them and respect them. You may not agree with them, but you can respect them. And give them honor, amen, for the position that they have in your life. And we're going to talk about mothers next week. I appreciate my mom. I really do. She was quite a lady. And I miss her. I miss her many, many days. Amen. Many after my mother passed away when I was just a junior in high school, the middle of my junior year in high school, barely older than Garrett or Gavin here this morning. And my father passed away the year before that, and then my mother passed away in my junior year in high school. And you don't really know what it's like to have to not have parents until they're taken away from you. And then you can respect the position that they held in your life. Amen. And I'm not going to get off onto that here this morning. But there are things. Amen. There are things. I remember Dad would chastise us. And you know what? We were pretty good kids. Well, I can't lie from the pulpit here this morning. I had my issues, amen, growing up. And my brother had issues. And I remember we would go to church. It wasn't an apostolic church. It was a Catholic church. And it was very dead. And there was no lively singing or anything like that. And from where the church was, you could look out the window of the church and watch the train go by. And every time the train would come by, my brother would sit there and watch the train go by. He wasn't paying attention to anything that was going on, and that was just my brother. And he's probably still like that today. And one time my dad said, "Son, quit looking at the train and pay attention to what's going on. Son, quit looking at the train and pay attention to what's going on." And then finally he said, "If you look at that train one more time, you're getting a spanking when you get home." And he looked out the window again and watched that train go by. And, oh, all the way home. You're getting it when you get home. And he took him to the bathroom. My dad always took us to the bathroom. And it wasn't a life or death situation. My dad used a fly swatter. But he started working my brother over with that fly swatter. And there were screams and hollers coming from that bathroom, and I thought, dear God, he's going to kill Mike. Amen. He's not coming out of this one alive. And he'd come out, and everything was all right, and I made up my mind right there. If I was going to be bad, I wasn't going to get caught because I didn't want to go to the bathroom. And I had to go to the bathroom one time that I remember, and I remember my dad swatting me one time with that, and man, I jumped and I screamed and I hollered. It didn't hurt a bit, amen, but I was just scared to death that I was going to get beat this close to my life, amen. And I'm thankful today that my dad put some things in me, amen. If I was left to myself, I don't know where I would be today. But there was someone who cared enough for me that said, "No, you can't do that. No, you're going to have to change the way you're doing things here. You're going to have to go and clean your room, and you're going to have to learn to love it." Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Getting real tight in here this morning, but that's okay. Let me get my glasses on, see if I can figure a way out of this here. Amen. But he says, if you without chastisements, then you're not really a son. God refines his people. I said, God refines his people. I'm talking about spiritual refinery here this morning. And we have a refinery up the road here. And that's exactly what it means. It takes raw material and it refines it into something that is useful and valuable. Amen. Because it's when it's crude, or when it is crude oil, meaning that it's not refined and it's not really worth a whole lot, then it can lay in the ground and not be worth anything. But when it is gone through the refinery, I worked there for 6 weeks when we first moved to Augusta, and found out some things about the refinery, and there is a big round tank that stands up really tall, and it's over 1,000 degrees in temperature on the inside. And they pump the crude oil into that tank that is superheated, and they put little balls of steel in there as well, and that acts as a catalyst. And the catalyst creates even more heat. It is purged with nitrogen so that no oxygen can be in there. For if there's oxygen in there, then it will explode. And the whole town of El Dorado would be gone. It would be flattened. That's how it is. And they inject this crude into the heat. And the superheated tank begins to break it down on a molecular level. They've got pipes coming out at different places, and they'll take certain things out at that level and certain things out at different levels, and they'll begin to make unleaded fuel. They will begin to make all kinds of things, sulfur, all kinds of things come out of that crude oil, and it may be $50 a barrel, but it is worth 10 times that, or probably even more, after it is refined. Amen. And in its crude stage, it can be almost like tar. It is seemingly worthless, and it's just a smelly, stinky stuff that comes out of the ground. But when it's refined, it's very valuable. Amen. Kind of like you and I, isn't it? Well, I know, I don't want to offend anybody here this morning. I know you're all super spiritual, but I can tell you right now, I'm not, and I'm living in this body that is crude oil here this morning. I'm living in this flesh that has lots of problems and lots of things that it has to deal with. You might as well just say amen. And so there has to be some heat applied. Praise God. There has to be some heat applied, and it has to be applied at the right place. And God takes things away, and God cuts things off, and all of that, because He knows that things that are in their natural state are not worth that much. Praise God. Gold in the rough is not worth that much. But when it is refined, when it is broken down and becomes pure gold, then it is worth something. And so He refines us. Romans chapter 11 and verse 17, He talks about it as the vine. And that's the scripture that we read in the book of John chapter 15. But Romans chapter 11 and verse 17, it says, "And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches." All right. So the branches is Israel. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches." Amen. And He was the vine in the original church, and Israel was the branches. But Israel rejected the purging. Everybody say that again, purging. He said He purges it. Every branch that bears fruit, He purges it. And so there is the tendency in everything that God created, for it to go wild if it is not controlled. Amen. It will go wild, and wild things do wild things. Praise God. Wild animals do crazy things. They eat other things. They're bloodthirsty. They destroy. They kill. They don't produce anything that's valuable, except maybe a picture or something along that lines. But anything that is left in its wild state is not very valuable. And when we were born into this world as Gentiles, we were the wild branch. He says we were a wild olive tree, meaning that we were a tree that was left to ourselves, a tree that nobody really cared about, a tree that just did whatever it wanted to do. But if you look in agriculture and you look in life itself, people that are wild, people that have no order in their lives. Amen. They don't end up producing anything. They might look pretty and they might look like they've got something to offer, but when you get a close examination of it, there's no fruit on it. It might have pretty leaves. It might have nice height to it and shape to it. But it's not worth anything. Amen. Because there's no fruit on it. And the only way for something to produce fruit is it has to be pruned back. That word purge there means to prune or to clip. I forgot about it. I was going to bring my pruning shears with me here this morning. They're about that long and a big handle, and you can get onto a limb, and you can just cut that thing right off. Has anybody got any pruning shears at home? Amen. I know Ronnie does landscaping. Do y'all do any pruning and cutting back and all of that? Amen. Grass that is left to grow wild isn't worth a whole lot, but you've got to cut it down to make it look good. Amen. An apple tree or a peach tree or an olive tree, it has to be cut back because there are wild branches that begin to grow off. And those wild branches that grow off, they draw energy from the tree, energy that could be made into fruit. Amen. And so a wise husbandman, he said, my father is the husbandman. We are the vine. We are the branches that are on the vine. He is the husbandman. A husbandman is someone who takes care of a vineyard. A husbandman is someone who goes out and looks for things that need to be clipped off and makes sure that it's fertilized and takes care of it so that there is a crop, so that there is fruit that's on these vines. And so God is the husbandman. You and I are the branches, and it is His will that fruit be in our lives. Somebody said amen. Amen. Praise God. So He gets out the pruning shears, and He comes into your life, and He says, I'm going to do an examination here. And He starts looking, He checks over here, and He checks over there, and checks down and just looks him over. I mean, a complete examination. You know what? I don't like that. Stick that out there. Snip. Ow, that hurt. What did you do that for? I did that because I love you. Yeah, I'm sure every kid believes that when their parent says, I'm doing this because I love you. Amen. Well, praise God. Somebody ought to just smile a little bit this morning. I'm giving you the spanking because I love you. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. But God comes along with the pruning shears, and He says, you know what? I don't like the way you're talking back here. I don't like that attitude. Snip. And he gives the word of God to the preacher or to the pastor, and oh my, that one hurt. Because it exposed me. It exposed a weakness in my life. What God is doing is not, He's not trying to make you feel insecure. He's not trying to make you feel like dirt. Amen. What He's trying to do is to reveal. The Word of God is revelatory. It reveals. Amen. It gets down into the joints and the marrow. It gets into the discerning of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Praise God. And nobody knows their heart. The only one that knows knows our heart is God Almighty, the husbandman. Amen. And so His job is to refine. Amen. And He says, now, the wild branches, the wild olive tree was you and I, and we were grafted in. We were not naturally a part of this vine as Gentiles. And so He says in verse 18, boast not against the branches. I'm in Romans 11, 18. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. And that's true. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, that's Israel, take heed lest He also spare not thee. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity, but on thee goodness. If thou continue in His goodness, Otherwise, thou shalt be cut off. Amen. And so it is the work of God. It is the plan of God. Not to, he comes and accepts us just like we are, but I'm telling you, he doesn't want us to stay like we are. Well, praise God. I know this isn't real exciting here this morning, that God wants to cut off some things, and there's some things that are in our lives that are a part of us. It's an appendage that comes out from us. Amen. And if you're going to cut that off, you're cutting part of me off. That's exactly the work that God does in our lives. The word purge here means to prune. That's the exact definition of that word. And there are things that will naturally begin to grow in your life, and they'll come out of seemingly nowhere. Amen. If you're going to grow tomatoes, there's tomatoes grow up like this, and then they split, and they make a Y. And where there's a Y, right there in the middle where that Y is, there will be a branch that will try to grow out of a tomato plant. They call it a sucker. And the reason is because it will draw energy from the rest of the plant. It will not produce a tomato, but it's a wild branch. And so you go out and you pick those off. You break them off. And it takes that energy and puts it back into the tomato plant so that it will produce fruit. I'm not an expert tomato grower, all right? So don't anybody ask me how to do it after service, because I'm not that good at it, but I have read that, and I know that that's the way it's supposed to be done. Amen. But there are things that will naturally grow in your life. And it's the work of our Lord, our loving God. Amen. Do you believe that God really loves you this morning? Amen. Amen. Seemingly from out of nowhere, something crops up in your life. Amen. But somewhere in your life, the Lord is going to pass through the vineyard, and it's time for an examination. Amen. And in most cases, in vines, like grapes and things like that, it is a yearly process. Amen. It's an ongoing process. We're never going to get to the place where we have arrived. Paul said, I have not arrived, but I am striving. I'm working toward this. And somewhere out of nowhere, well, I thought he cut that off last year. Here it is, coming back up again. Am I ever going to get my act together? Well, the truth of the matter is, no, you're not. But our God is able to help us and to cut these things off. He'll cut off a lying tongue. He'll cut off an attitude. He'll cut off a vine or a branch of faithlessness. He'll cut off so many things in your life. And you'll look lean and mean and trim, amen, and it almost looks like he cuts everything back. I planted the three trees that are in front of the church, and they started growing, and I looked at them one day, and I said, there's some things I don't like about those trees. They're pretty trees, aren't they? You like those trees out in front of the church? I got the chainsaw out, and I said, there's some branches here that just don't look good to me, and I'm cutting them back. And I cut those things way back. I thought they were going to die almost. And I cut back some big ones about this big around, because they were intruding down low, and I didn't want it to look that way. And so I cut them, all three of them, back. Somebody came to church and said, who in the world cut on those trees? And I lifted my hand and said, I'm the guilty party. I did it. Amen. But don't worry, it's going to be all right. I did it to the trees at my house. If you ever get frustrated with something, just get your chainsaw out and prune your trees back. Amen. Just give them a good working over. They won't die. Amen. But you're going to be introducing more energy into that tree. Amen. And it will be able to do something it never could do before. Amen. Now they look really pretty, and they're up nice and high, and they're full looking. And I've been looking at them in the last couple of years, and I'm thinking, I'm getting a little frustrated. I'm going to get the chainsaw out again. Amen. And that's what God does in our lives. Amen. It's not enough just to come and sit on a church pew. It's not enough just to be planted. Amen. Jesus gave us a parable in one place, and he said that there was a tree in a vineyard or an orchard, and it would not produce fruit. And so he prunes it back, and it still doesn't produce fruit. And so he puts fertilizer around it, and it still doesn't produce fruit. And he tries everything he can to get fruit in our lives. And then the last state of that tree, he said, give it a couple of years. Give it 3 years, I believe it says in the scripture. And if it produces fruit, well, if it doesn't, cut it down, we're going to put another tree in its place. That's how serious a matter this is this morning. Amen. We cannot go to heaven in a sinful state. We cannot experience life eternal with him in our sinful state. There has to be a cutting off. Well, I thought I got my sins forgiven. Yes, you did. But I'm telling you, we are subject to this nature of sin and will be all the days of our life. We've got to let the husbandman of the vineyard come through and do an inspection in our lives. I don't know if this is what you were looking for this morning, but I feel like the Lord gave this to me. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. He said, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. That would be John the Baptist. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. That's Jesus. Even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears? Ooh, those are questions that need to be answered. Who is going to be able to abide his coming? Oh, we want Jesus. We want the Lord in our life. But I'll tell you what the Lord does, and it's not every day, and thank God for it. We would not survive if it was every day. But there are times that he made a whip, and he went into the temple, and he beat the backs of those people that were buying and selling in the temple. And he drove them out. Amen. Why? He didn't do it because he hated them. He did it because he loved them. And he said, this is my Father's house. This shall be a house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. That's exactly what those folks needed. Amen. They didn't need to be patted on the back. They needed someone to come and expose the real need of their life. Who's going to be able to stand at his appearing? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Amen. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, that's the priests, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness, or offer a offering in purity. Amen. And so the only way that we can become pure is we have to get rid of the impurities. He said gold and silver. Everybody say gold and silver. Gold and silver. Amen. How do they refine gold and silver? They put it into a vessel and they heat it up. And they heat it up very hot until it melts. And then they continue to heat it up. And as they heat it up, all of the bad things float up to the top. And they scoop it off and throw it away. And then they heat it up some more and more things are released. And they scoop it off. And before you know it, it's pure silver, and now it's worth something. It's pure gold, and now it's worth something. Amen. He shall sit as a refiner, and not only will he be like a refiner's fire, but he will be like a fuller's soap. Amen. Maybe that's where they got the fuller brush idea. I don't know. Any of you young people here this morning, when you were little kids, remember your mom or your dad washing you in the bathtub? And they're scrubbing on you. And you said, stop, you're going to scrub my skin off. Anybody remember that? Was it just me? All right, me and Ronnie, we're in this together here this morning. Sit still, I got to get that off of there. And they just a scrub and a scrub and scrub. And I'm like, my goodness, I didn't know I was that dirty. I didn't know I needed that much help, but just scrubbing with that soap and bubbles everywhere. And I'm telling you, sometimes it's not a very good experience. It's a whole lot better for mom or dad just say, go take a bath, and you just soak in there for 2 or 3 hours till your skin gets wrinkled. Praise God. That's good enough. No, it's not good enough. Let's get the soap out. Did you brush your teeth? Did you put toothpaste on the brush? How long did you brush your teeth? I know what I'm talking about this morning. I've been down this road before. Amen. Yeah, I brushed my teeth. Let me see them. Nope, go in there and brush them again. You didn't do it good enough. Why not? I remember they came to school and they had these little red tablets and they said, all right, go in there in the bathroom, brush your teeth. We want to show you something and do the best job that you can. So I brushed my teeth as good as I could, and then you chew up that red thing and all that red dye would get on the stuff that didn't get washed off. And I was horrified to see that there was an awful lot of stuff left behind. I didn't do a good enough job. And I thought, my goodness, getting clean is really not my deal here, you know. And thank the Lord I've got good teeth and I've never had to worry too much about that. But I'll tell you what, it's nice to have a bright smile. Amen. It really is. And so you got to learn to get rid of some things in your life. You've got to learn how the Lord washes you with the water, with the word, amen, and gets down to where you're living and exposes you to yourself. Praise God. John chapter 8 and verse 1. Is this all right this morning? All right, praise God. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. And then they said, the law says, stone her. What do you say? And Jesus didn't even answer them because he was in the mode of refining here. It wasn't a matter of justice or injustice. It was a matter of what's wrong with you. All right, you're bringing this person to me. You didn't bother to bring the man. You just brought the poor lady and humiliated her in front of everybody. And you're trying to bring judgment upon her. And what about you? Amen. You know what? I've learned that if I point a finger at somebody, I've got 3 fingers pointing back at me. And I've got 1 finger pointing up at God. Amen. It's a whole lot better not to point fingers because the Lord's going to say, you know what? I don't like that little branch that's growing out there. I'm going to get my pruning shears out. So he just reached down and he started drawing in the dirt with his finger. And there's lots of speculation as to what he wrote down on there. But some said maybe he's writing the Ten Commandments. Maybe he was writing some sins down there. And they asked him again, Lord, what are you going to do about this? And finally he looked up and he said, he that's without sin, let him cast the first stone. And all of a sudden revelation came by the word of God. All of a sudden they saw themselves as they really were. Before this, they didn't see themselves. They didn't understand what miserable spiritual condition they were in and what they really needed in their life more than anything. But the simple word of God. Thank God for the word of God this morning. Thank God for preaching of the Word of God, anointed preaching from the Word of God. Amen. Thank God that we've got a Bible we can read at home. And if you'll just spend the time and meditate on the Word of God, it'll reveal things to you. Why don't I have joy? It's right there in the Word. You just got to meditate on it. And you've got to let the Word reveal that to you. Why am I angry? Well, you've got to let the Lord reveal that to you. Amen. So that it can be cut off out of your life. And here they were. They were high-minded. They were heady. They were religious hierarchy, so to speak. And they did not know the Lord down deep inside their heart. And he just said the words, let the first one cast a stone that's without sin. And the oldest left first. And then the youngest, I believe it was. The youngest was last. And they finally gave in. You know, the younger ones got more pride than the older ones sometimes. And I'm hanging on here to the end. And then all of a sudden this friend leaves and another one leaves and another one. And conviction rested upon the situation. And he just reached down and started writing in the dirt again, probably writing the sins that those people had committed themselves. Right. And when they looked down in there, they said, oh, dear Lord, I'm in real trouble. You know what? I think my wife's got dinner ready. I've got to go home. See you later, guys. And he just walked away. And probably he had a meditative prayer meeting and thought deeply about his spiritual condition. And then another and another. And finally, nobody was there. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, where are your condemners? Where are those that condemn you, woman? And she said, there's nobody here. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He didn't give her a pass. He said, don't do this anymore. Do not sin anymore, because you won't be saved if you stay in this sin. He's coming as a fuller's soap. Amen. As a refiner. Praise God. And they could not abide his coming. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Is doing some teaching here this morning. I'm going to finish here in just a few minutes. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past. I won't go into that. There's some people that actually believe that today. And they have overthrown the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Amen. Anybody here today naming the name of Jesus Christ? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's who we're here to worship this morning. Let every one depart from iniquity. And so in order for us to depart from iniquity, we've got to let the Lord prune us. He said, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor. Everybody said honor. And some to dishonor. Everybody said dishonor. We have a choice this morning to be a vessel of honor to God or to be a vessel of dishonor. What's the difference? The difference is letting God prune some things out of your life. Well, praise the Lord. Letting God cut some things out of your life that are not of him. And it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. And so there is of necessity a purging, a cutting, a removal of things. Amen. Unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. I want God to do something with my life. Amen. I want to be valuable in the hand of God. And the only way is He's got to purify me. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. You know, the greatest thing we could ever do is let God change us and mold us and make us. He'll take cigarettes between your fingers and get rid of them. He'll take alcohol out of your desire. He'll take a lying tongue out of your mouth. He'll take deceit out of your heart. He'll remove laziness out of your spirit. Well, praise God. Amen. He'll take unfaithfulness and replace it with faithfulness. You can go to anything you want to talk about here this morning. There's a million sins that we could talk about and a million different attitudes that we could talk about. But I'm telling you, the work of God, He said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And the only way that that can happen is there's got to be a change. And the way that there is a change, he goes through the branches, I don't like that, and he cuts it off. He goes through and he cuts it off, and he cuts it off. And sometimes he cuts it way back, and it looks like it's going to be damaging. Sometimes it seems like the Lord is going to damage your life if you really follow and serve God. But He's not going to damage your life. He's got the best way. He knows what's best for me. Well, praise God. Somebody ought to say amen this morning. I know it's not always pleasant for chastisement and all of that, but if He loves us, that's how He is going to work in our lives. But if you resist the Lord, oh, don't resist the Lord. Amen. That's all I want to say this morning. But it is the vessels of dishonor that we need to focus our attention upon, so that all that is left is honor. We've got to focus on the dishonor. God, what is dishonoring in my life? God, what is it about me that You would like to change? Oh, well, I don't want to change. I don't like change. I like the way I am. But you see, this morning, we can't resist God. We have to submit ourselves to God. And we have to submit to the changes that He wants to make in our lives. You know, so often, and even in this generation specifically, you were born that way. We've got it down where, well, praise God. Not going to get off here this morning. But we've got it down in our society where if you feel like you're a girl, even though you were a boy at birth, that you go with what you feel. I was born this way. This is the way I'm supposed to be. I'm sorry. Yes, you were born that way. Did you know that some people were born with a weakness to alcohol? And the statistics prove that the first drink of alcohol, you'll be an alcoholic. Other people don't have that problem. There are some people that don't have that problem. There are some people that have weakness in the flesh when it comes to lust. There are people that have weakness in the flesh when it comes to many, many, many things. I remember the first cigarette I ever smoked, I turned 3 shades of green and I thought I was going to die. But it wasn't very long after that I got addicted to those things. And I couldn't wait to get another one. And I ended up smoking 2 packs of those a day. Can you imagine how much money that would cost in today's dollars? Oh, I'm so thankful God delivered me of that. Amen. It's a work of the flesh. Amen. Why was I born this way? Well, you were just born this way. Amen. Genetics made it so that you have a weakness. If you don't have any weaknesses, then you don't need God, right? But I need God this morning. And so what the Lord says is, you know, Give me that pack of cigarettes. Oh, this is going to be hard. Nobody said it was going to be easy. Well, let me look inside your refrigerator. Oh, those are gone. I remember we was out drinking one time. I don't tell many stories about my past, but I was the driver, and so I was responsible, and we had several six-packs in the back of the pickup truck, and we were drinking, and we were going around and doing stuff, and I was going a little bit over the speed limit, and I got pulled over by the police, Wichita police, and he questioned me and questioned who was in the truck, and he said, "What's that in the back?" And he told us, he said, I'm not even sure I was of age at that point in time, and I remember slipping into some bar rooms when I was underage and, you know, just getting by with stuff. But the police officer said, "I'll tell you what, I'm not going to write you up if you'll open every one of those up and dump them out in the street." And my friend was so angry because we paid good money for that beer. He popped the lid off and slammed it down, popped the lid off and slammed it down. And I thought, oh, man. And we were made to dump all of that out. Snip. I didn't know at the time God was using that police officer in my life. Well, praise God. You don't need that, son. Snip. Listen, sir, ma'am, you don't need that. Snip. Praise God. Well, I just think, you know what? You know what? The Lord says it doesn't really matter what you think. Snip. Ow, I don't like that. I don't want to change. I want to just keep going the way I'm going. Snip. And he's got a good eye. He's a master at this husbandman stuff. And he can look around up. Oh, I see that right there. You know what? That's not good. Snip. Yeah, but it looks good. It feels good. It's a part of me. Snip. It's gone, history. It's not going to live anymore. Amen. But there'll be another place on the tree where it'll try to come up next year. Snip. Well, I thought I had that under control. Snip. There's going to be a lot of snips in your life, a lot of little clips and cuts, and sometimes it'll be the sound of a chainsaw. You know what? This whole branch here's got to go. It's not producing anything good. Praise God. Praise God. You know, I tell folks, and this morning, Lacey, you're getting baptized this morning. We're thankful for that. But you know what? Jesus got baptized too. And if you read the story of his baptism, he came up out of the water. There was a voice. There was a recognition of who he was. It was a spiritual experience right there. But then the Bible says he was led into the wilderness of the devil to be tempted. Immediately after his baptism. Amen. Not that Jesus needed anything snipped off in his life, but friend, we do. And when you get baptized tomorrow, amen, some things will come against you. And in a week, some things will come against you. And you got to remember that, amen, that God uses temptation and God uses negative things. Oh, well, I'm too busy to come to church. Snip. I got other things to do. Snip. I'm telling you this morning, God wants to work in our life to make us valuable in the kingdom of God. Valuable. What makes a valuable employee? You don't know if he's going to be there today or not. How long would your job last? Amen. If they didn't know if you were going to show up. Brother Keith, were you on time when you worked? You were probably early. Knowing Brother Keith, he was probably early. No, you just barely slipped in there. After a while, I understand. I'm finishing. Sister Reed come this morning to help me finish this out. But they kept you because you showed up all the time. Did you ever go to work with a headache? You did. Well, how about that? I thought it was all about how you feel. Maybe you just tell your boss, "I just don't feel like I really want to be there today." You know what, Keith? That's okay. It's all right. No, it didn't work that way. How long did you work out there? A couple years. Couple years plus about 40 or something like that. Amen. Dennis, they're keeping you out there. 40 years. Let's give him a hand clap this morning. This July, 40 years. 40, you ever been there with a headache? Yeah. You ever go when you're sick? Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Doug, you don't miss any time on your job. I know that. Ronnie, I'm sure you don't miss any time on your job. Praise the Lord. Well, maybe I ought not to get too personal here this morning. Brother Troy, I know that you're faithful on your job. Daryl, I know that you're faithful on your job. Brother Greg, he's faithful on his job. Deontay, even got some overtime this last week. Melissa's smiling real big. She's going to go shopping. Venus, I know you're faithful on your job. That's what makes you a good employee. Faithfulness. I'm there. You know what? That's what makes us faithful to God. God, I'm going to be there. Don't you worry about me, Lord. I'm going to be there. And I'm going to be faithful. And I'm going to be valuable. I may have to snip some things off. I may have to cut some things off in my life. But I'm willing to do it. Amen. Because there's fruit for the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Amen. They that are Christ's, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Amen. You know what the Lord really likes? He'll cut it off, but he likes it if we carry some pruning shears in our own back pocket. And we hear the word of God and we pull that out. That hurt. What did he say? If your eye offends you, if your foot offends you, if your hand offends you. Garrett, I don't know if I could do that realistically. Put my hand on a chopping block. He wasn't talking literally, but he was talking about, you know what, every one of us love our hand, right? Amen. We love our feet. Amen. We love our eyes. Amen. That hurts. That's destructive. I'm never going to be the same if I do this. That's what pleases God when we hear the word of God and we say, I'm going to do this because I want to be valuable. I want to be valuable to God. I'm going to push myself. I'm going to go the second and the third and the fourth mile to be pleasing to my Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together this morning. Let's give the Lord thanks, can we? Thank God for the word this morning. Thank God for the word. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. God loves us so much that he refines, he changes, he molds us, he makes us so that in the end we can be a vessel of honor. Meet for the Master's use. Praise God. Praise God. Father, we thank you for the Word of God this morning. Thank you for the touch of the Holy Ghost that we feel in this place. And I'm asking you, Lord, to work these things out in us. Take me back to the woodshed if I need to go. Do whatever you want to do in my life, God, that I may be pleasing unto you and hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise and thanks.